Thank you very much. So, yes, hello. It's great to not be looking at a screen in the back corner. If you ever wonder where I was during our online services, I was, if you head out as if you go into the toilet under the stairs and then just stop in the kind of dingy doorway, that's where I was, plugged in into the cupboard there for, because Louise Tapman just gave me a look which said, why? Why did you do that? That's because I can plug into the sound system in there, and while you guys were doing whatever you were at home, I was blasting the music in that entrance lounge. I had it on the big telly, and honestly, it was like Church of One, and it was great. So, plus then you were in there afterwards, and it just made lots of sense. But this is great. This is so good, and I know we've been back in the morning for quite a while now, actually. But we kind of wanted to hold off a little bit of even service. Plus, we couldn't just come over crashing back in, and we're really pleased. I know there's some people, hello, online. There's some people who are still not able to make it here yet, or just tuning online for maybe it's the first time. If it is, hello, I'm Dan. Nice to meet you. Well, if you comment, then I'll have met you, and it'll be really good. But yeah, it's great that we can be here online, in person, and any other connection that we are. So I'm not going to be long tonight, you'll be pleased to know. Okay, yeah, I thought it'd be more of a cheer, but no, that's fine. We'll not be long. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's because we've already had a huge block of worship, and we wanted to make a bit more space for a bit more worship, a bit of prayer, and stuff like that. But we're doing 3 weeks, as Louise said, back to. And Louise wanted me to find a way to make it because she likes the kind of the sound of stuff. So we had like, we know we wanted back to vision, that's next week, back to mission, that's the week after, and then it was back to church. The closest I got was back to congregation. No? Okay. Well, that was the closest I got I could work out. But yeah, back to being in church in person, but more than that, because as we've said, we are hybrid now. We are here in a building, we are at home, or we're watching this at some random point and wherever you happen to be. Because church is bigger than what we constrain it to be at times, isn't it? And when we hit the lockdown period, there were lots of signs like this. Some were nicer than others, some were more stark, but for the first time, I think since, well, I want to say one of the world wars, but I'm told that most churches kept going. So first time in a long time, put it that way, definitely in my lifetime, and probably everyone else's lifetime here, churches, the buildings closed. They needed to. It was important. Because of what was going on, to try and protect people. I'm not going to get into the debate of when they should have opened and when they didn't. That's a whole other thing. But the reality is that buildings shut. Buildings closed down. And it became hard, not just for those who miss going to church or getting your coffee and your nice biscuit or whatever, but just being together. It's such a human thing, and by that I mean it's the way God created humans to be. We were created to be together. We were created to be in relationships, in union. And the church is a great example. You know, Jesus, after he'd finished, he didn't say, look, okay, now I'm gone, guys, kind of just scatter around, do your own thing, and eventually I'll come back. He says, you need to carry on with what I was teaching you, but more. You need to grow, more of you. Go out, spread, grow, because it's so important you do this together. And what I'm sure we all know as well, but in case you didn't, God has always kept working. Even when the buildings closed, God kept working. And lots of churches did wonderful things. I think we did pretty well with the resources we had and the tech skills we did or didn't have. But because the church was never going to stop, it just had to move in a new way. And God certainly didn't stop working. And I know of people who have connected with God, connected with church, or reconnected through the lockdown period because of the new avenues and new ways that were made. Amazing stories. You talk to Mike and Paul about the work they went on with the food bank and stuff like that. Amazing story. Not just the stuff we see in the media with football players, but just your stuff that's gone on for months, years before that, behind the scenes, that really stepped up, really made a difference. God was still working, even when at times it felt like he wasn't there. And we all know this, don't we? But again, don't want to presume. The church is not the building, is it? The church is the people, God's people collected together. And so when we went through this period of, oh, church is closed and we're coming back to church, I was thinking, I was using that language, I was talking that way. And tonight is a reminder for me as much as everyone else. The church never went anywhere. The church didn't stop. The church didn't close. And we didn't shut up shop. We didn't stop believing in God. We didn't stop worshiping, praying, reading our Bible, studying. We just had to find new and different and sometimes exciting or awkward and annoying, whatever it is, ways to do it. But God kept going. God looked at this pandemic and went, I've seen them before and I'll see them again. It does not matter because the church will keep going. God has a plan for his church, and no matter how challenging, his plan includes us. That's not from the Bible. That is a quote from someone called Emily Colson. And I was like, do you know what? That is a great quote. And the reason I know this is because the Bible tells us that we are part of God's plan. Jesus could have just said, hey guys, watch this. Clip my fingers, boom. World is perfect again. Everything's sorted, done. But what he did was he says, I'm going to die. I'm going to resurrect. Sin is now paid for, eternal life is now open, but you still live in this world with the struggles, with the difficulties and the rubbish that goes on. And I want you to go and love people and to tell them about me, tell them about my message, because one day I will come and it will be put right. You are my church. The Bible talks about us being Christ's bride. The person that Jesus, who never married as a man, has said, this is the person that I have saved myself for. This is who I will come back to be united with. And if the church is the people and is us and cannot close, cannot drop off, cannot disappear, and we keep doing our thing, then that means God keeps working. That means God has a plan for every single one of you here and online, and that God is going to do that plan, whether you think you're up to it or not. At Soul Survivor, when we used to go there every year, we were reminded, God does not call the equipped, he equips the called. He basically says, I've got a job for you, and you go, I don't know what to do, because that's fine. I will show you, I will tell you, I will prepare you. I just want you. I want your heart, I want your mind, I want everything you are, and I will give you everything you need. Proverbs says this, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And I am convinced that looking as we come out of this pandemic, seeing how the church globally embraced, adapted, moved in different directions, and is now rolling on, that God was never going to be stopped in his tracks by anything that the world can throw at it. That his purposes will always prevail. You could even argue that in the last 18 months, the message of God's love has actually been kind of magnified in our community. Suddenly, neighbors who didn't know each other were talking to one another, were connecting, were finding out if Harold down the road needed some shopping doing, or if Geraldine, who we all see on the corner and she walks around with her dog, is she doing all right? Or what about Mandy with on her own with the three kids? Or what about Phil, who we heard about losing his job? People suddenly wanted to check in. They wanted to help people. They wanted volunteering went up. People got involved. And it's almost like God was saying, guys, this is great. Could you not do this before there was a global pandemic? Did it take all this to happen for you to realize, oh yeah, actually, this makes life better if we love each other and look after each other? So that purpose of God has always been there. And if anything, when the struggles came, when the pressure came, it just created more. Acts 2, 42 to 47. You've probably read this many, many times, but here we are again. This is after Peter has stood up. They've received the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, they being the disciples. And then Peter gets up as a spokesperson of the disciples and he preaches a sermon. And thousands of people say, yes, we want to follow this Jesus. We want to give our lives over to him. And the church begins. And this is what it then says about the church. It says, they, being the followers of Christ, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, I'm not going to rework multiple sermons. I mean, I've done multiple sermons on this, and you've probably heard a lot on this. But what I want to kind of remind us is that when we think about the church and us being the church and knowing that God has a purpose and that didn't go away, and if anything, it's been magnified during the last 18 months, what is the base purpose of the church? It's what's described here. is to learn from the teachings, the apostles' teachings, the gospel of Jesus, the teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples. And we get a lot more than they did because more was written since then, the letters of Paul and the stuff through the New Testament. Understanding what the Bible tells us. To come together and to be together, literally, to support each other, to help no one be so in need that life does not work for them. They went as far as selling possessions and helping one another. I know plenty of people, and I'm sure plenty of people that I don't know of, who have done many things financially to help, love, and support people when there is need. I'm sure there are people who have said, oh, you know what, I don't need this anymore, why don't you have it? It could be, you know, an old car seat, or I've known of people giving away cars. Whatever it is, this is what the church is there to do. They break bread. This isn't just in the way that we remember communion, but that is one of those ways, but also just literally getting together and sharing food. We couldn't do that for quite a while, but now, depending on where you're at, where how comfortable you feel, we can start to share bread, and we can literally share meals, share what we call, the Christian word is it fellowship, isn't it? Oh, let's go and fellowship. We have fellowship groups, and it's lovely. It just means let's go and hang out. Let's just spend time together. Let's like each other and eat together and chat and get to know each other. Let's enjoy the good times, enjoy the bad times, whatever it is. And through that, it's about praising God. Praising God and seeing the church grow. I think the church, in many ways, has grown through the period we've been in. It might not be that every church has suddenly got loads more people inside a building, but I think there is a much larger interest now in what the church is, who this Jesus is, and why there was so much love shown, or why it seemed to make sense when people did that. And that is amazing. And we should praise God for that. We've come tonight and we want to praise and worship God as part of what we're here tonight because it's the first thing we do, but it also because it's what church does. And when we're in the building together, it's great because we can spur each other on. At home, you can hear us, we hope, and it all works so and doesn't sound too bad, and you can join in, and God hears your praise as well. I love the idea when we think about praise and worship as the church, big C, global wide, how if you think about it, in theory, I'm pretty certain, there's never a moment when someone somewhere is not singing and praising God. And if God can hear that praise from heaven, or however that works, it's just a constant symphony of praise and worship to him, as it should be. And when the church does that and puts God first and focuses on God, when they step out and they love each other and they look after each other and they welcome people in, then we get this many wonders and signs and miracles and fantastic things. Sometimes that might be a miraculous healing. Sometimes it might be a check which lands through a door which wasn't expected but changed everything. Sometimes it might be a word spoken. Sometimes it might be a meal offered, whatever it is. These are the workings of God, and he does it through his church. It's about worship, fellowship, ministry, outreach, discipleship, leadership, all these things. And at the center, and I love this picture graph because at the center, it's about Jesus. Churches can become social clubs. Churches can become places where we get into a habit of doing certain things because that's how we do them, we like them. And although that's not always wrong, if we lose sight of who is at the center, of who the church exists to be the beautiful bride for, which is Jesus, then the church loses its purpose. The church is not meant to be the bit on the side. The church is not meant to be the kind of the friend zone. The church is the love of Christ. Christ loves us and is coming back to take his bride, to take his wife, and to be united for eternity. And so Christ should be the center of our purpose. 1 Corinthians 12, 27, again, very popular verses, that we are part of a body of Christ, that each one of us has a place in the church. You can just look around this room and you will see a variety of people, variety of ages, faces, hair colors, eyes, body shapes, fashion sense. Whatever it is, and that's before we get to the stuff under the surface, you know, the likes, the dislikes, what TV programs people like, what football team you support, whether you like onions or not, because, I mean, really, who likes onions? But we're so varied. We're such a weird mixture of people. I mean, let's be honest. If we just randomly met, like in the pub, we probably wouldn't all sit down in a group like this and just hang out, would we? Like, that wouldn't happen. You guys would probably look over at me and be like, no, so we sit around the corner, darling, because he's a bit loud. Whatever it is. But the church brings us together. Because even though we are so different and some of us are weird and great and whatever it is, we all have a different role to play. And I love the analogy of the body, because it means one of us somewhere is the little toe. But do you know what? I broke my little toe at a popular cafe in the area with children's facilities. Let's call it that. On some, I quote, soft play. It wasn't very soft on the corner that caught my toe. And it gave me issues for weeks. Because actually, every part of our body, like if you ever get an itchy eye, and it's just the most annoying thing, it's just, it doesn't matter how small or how big or how whatever, every part of our body matters. We care about, I mean, I don't know about, not many people sit at home and go, oh, do you know, I could probably just lose a finger, that'll be fine. We don't do that, do we? And God does exactly the same. He looks at us as a church and goes, my church is wonderful, it's varied, and it's beautiful. And every single person, every individual has a place, has a part to play. And even if they think they are nothing but a toenail, without that toenail, that bride is not perfect. That bride that I love, that bride that I am coming to marry, to be with for eternity. So we are so, so important as part of the church. And the way that we give ourselves over to what God wants to do as part of the church, as part of coming back together and then going back out, it's about surrendering and saying, okay, God, I'm here, use me. If I am the toenail, if I am the ear, if I am the brain, if I am the strong bicep muscle, whatever it is, use me. And that doesn't happen like with a quick go on, God, I've got you 10 minutes, fit me in. Oh, I'll pray for you. There we go. It doesn't work that way. God says, okay, that's fine. I just need one thing from you, just one thing. Can you just lay down your life, pick up your cross, and follow me? It's just a small thing. Just surrender everything you have. Be like my son. Give it up and follow me. And what I will give you back, you may feel like you've lost it all, but what you will gain will be far greater than anything you can imagine. And no life, I believe, is more secure than a life surrendered to God. Because when we surrender, we give control and power over to the person who we've surrendered to. If you surrender, if you're being arrested, it's definitely a good sign to surrender to the police, because otherwise they get a bit handsy and it gets a bit. If you surrender over, they take complete control and power over you in that moment. If we surrender to God, then God takes power and control over us, not so that he can dance us around like a puppet, but so that he can give us the greatest life we could ever imagine. So that he can say, a bit like Abraham, there's a story in the Old Testament, Abraham was told to take his one and only son to a mountain to sacrifice him. Echoes of what would happen with Jesus. And at the point of that ultimate surrender to God's will, God said, no, Abraham, stop. I have something else for you. But it's like, I just needed you to know, Abraham, that you were gone, that you were surrendered to me, and from thee I will now make you the father of the greatest nations that you could ever imagine. So what next? Meant to be short, so I need to end it. What do we do with that then? The church is opening up. We're back in here in the evening service. We're back in the morning service. Some churches have been open for months. Some are yet to come back. But what does the church do next? In Isaiah, in the Old Testament, it says this, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? And I, saying Isaiah, said, here I am, send me. If we are wanting to get back to being the church or continue being the church, because let's be honest, I know for lots of us, you never stopped. You kept going. In fact, maybe you even ramped it up. It's about surrendering to God and saying, I am part of this body. I am part of your bride. I have a role to play. I know that. I'm surrendered to your will. Show me. Where do you want me? Where do you need me? What do I do? And I will do. And I'm not just saying this because we're looking to fill rotas. That just occurred to you right in this moment. That's not what this is about, although it might be for some of you. But it is bigger than that, much bigger. What is God saying? What is God going to do? So what we'd like to do tonight is give you a bit of space to think about that and to pray that through. The band are going to kind of come back up, and we're going to do a song that we've done a lot kind of over time. It's just called I Surrender. And for some of us, it might be something that you're saying, do you know what, through all of this, and not just the pandemic, maybe before that, this has been a struggle for me, because the idea of giving over control to God, letting go, not wanting to direct where I go in my life, is really hard. And I get you, of course it is. I mean, we love to be in control. We're humans. Maybe for some of you, you're the opposite end of the scale, and you say, I surrendered my life to God a long time ago, and I don't know why I need to keep singing about surrendering, because I've done that. I think it's good to be anywhere on that scale, because you can now respond to how that means for you. If you're feeling, I am fully surrendered, I'm here, then can you please pray for those you see around you? It doesn't have to, if you want to and they're comfortable, you could go over to them if you know them and you feel they'd be comfortable and pray with them. Or you can sit where you are and just say, God, I pray for that person. If you are, though, the other end of the scale and you're saying, do you know what? I feel like I need to give something back to God. I need to surrender, or I need to re-surrender. I've been in this place before and I've shelled up. I've turtled up because of what's been going on or whatever, and I just need to release a little bit more. Or maybe even you're a bit worried about what God might do in that moment, because I get that. This is a place where I encourage you to say, God, here I am. Use me. And it's up to you how you want to do that. If you want people around you to pray with you, if you I feel comfortable with people who I trust, and we've got people who are ministry trained around who are going to kind of glance around and come around, then you can go to the back and they will come and see you in the back corner and they'll come and pray with you. Or you can ask people around you, or even you could come down to the front here and someone will come and pray with you. I don't want to make it too prescriptive, because I know different people feel comfortable in different ways of doing this. And some of you might be like, I want to pray, I just don't want people near me right now, and that is understandable as well. So I'm going to kind of leave it with you to talk to the people who you trust to do that. There will be worship. You can join in with the worship. You can head towards the back. If you, where Mikey's sat at the moment, there's kind of a little area. And if you head that way, then people who are ministry trained will go and be like, okay, pray. Or if you wander down the front, we'll kind of see, and it's up to you. But the rest of you, I encourage you to take a moment and to join in with the worship as it makes sense. So they're going to start going with the song. So if we could put the words up, please, Gordon, and then I'm just going to wait here and just to see if there's anything else God wants to say or do as we go with this.